T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back. The second hour of Upstate Outdoors is on your radio. And we're at 106.3 WRD in Greenville, Spartanburg, and Lawrence, and Union, in parts of Union. And for a while now, we've been on 101.5 down in Anderson, and we were talking with Ken Sloan last hour, 95.1 in Oconee and Pickens.
We're like going places.
And then, of course, worldwide on the radio.com app, 1063wrd.radio.com. So, man, it's, I tell you what, for a, well, I won't even call this a little station. It's a big little station.
It is a big little station.
A big little station. Little big station. However you want to say it. But so we spent most of the hour, last hour, talking with Ken Sloan from Visit Oconee, South Carolina. And this hour, we're going to jump into the Roadkill Cafe. Boat Girl's got some venison for us. And then we're going to jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog. Going to go old school crappie fishing, tell you about the originations of slow trolling for crappie.
Which is cool.
Yep. And then we got our buddy Marty Robinson is going to come on and talk about whatever Marty Robinson wants to talk about, to
we're
be honest with you.
Out.
But we're going to get a fishing report for Lake Hartwell for that tournament that we were talking about with Ken, the FLW Toyota Series. And then we're going to end up today's show with our parting shot after the calendar of events. Parting shot about a 12-year-old Minnesota boy who found a pair of shed antlers.
That's cool.
200 inches.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. But right now, we got to jump in the kitchen.
So we're spicing up, sort of doing something different with venison. I mean, we got a freezer full of venison, and I'm sure most of y'all do too, you know, because it's that time of year and nobody's getting low yet. So what we're doing today is pan-seared venison medallions with balsamic berry sauce. Some of our tenderloin we get cut to go ahead and slice.
Butterfly.
Yep. That's what they call it.
Yep.
If you don't have yours butterfly, if you've got them whole, go ahead and slice them, you know, because we're pan-searing. As soon as they thaw out. Do not thaw your tenderloin in the microwave. That is a Gentry public service announcement. So you're going to need 2 pounds of well-trimmed venison tenderloin medallions or butterflies.
Backstrap.
About a half inch thick. Salt and pepper. 2 tablespoons of olive oil. 1/2 teaspoon of fresh rosemary leaves minced. 2 garlic cloves minced. 1/4 cup of dry red wine. 1/4 cup of balsamic vinegar. 1 tablespoon of plum preserves. You can find those at the grocery store, no problem. 3 tablespoons of chilled butter cut into pieces. 3/4 cup of fresh berries of any kind. I think I like the blueberries. And then 1/4 cup of blue cheese crumbles. Blue cheese.
Mm.
So season your meat with a salt and pepper. You heat your olive oil in a large skillet over medium-high heat. Iron skillet's best for searing. Add the meat, brown on each side. You're only going to go about 1 to 2 minutes a side. Okay, so it's going to be rare. So you add the rosemary, the garlic, the wine, the balsamic vinegar, and the plum preserves in that pan after you take that venison out. You're going to keep the venison warm, and you're going to reduce the liquid to a few tablespoons. So what you're doing is a reduction with the spices and the herbs, and then your balsamic in your wine. So when you've got it reduced and it's thickened up, you take your chilled butter and you throw it in the pan and get it melted and whisk it together. So remove from the pan, stir in the berries, obviously until they're warm, and then you take your medallions and you cook them for about 1 minute longer, okay, just to kind of heat them back up, and then you spoon the glaze over the venison. This is going to be really good with garlic mashed potatoes.
Mmm.
So.
Now, where does the preserves come in? Was that in the reduction?
You do that with the reduction.
Okay.
So in the reduction, rosemary, garlic, wine, balsamic vinegar, and the plum preserves. So all your liquids and all your herbs go in the reduction. You just kind of cook it all together until it starts thickening up. There's sugar in it, obviously natural sugar, and then some from preserves. And so you're making the reduction.
So if you're using preserves in that, it shouldn't take long to get it all reduced into into
just
preserve
a few minutes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it on high because the sugar in both the balsamic, the preserves, and even in the wine, you don't want it to burn.
Yeah.
Tasty.
Put that on a biscuit.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Put that on a biscuit.
What, the tenderloin or the glaze?
The whole thing.
Okay, well,
put that on a biscuit and eat it for breakfast.
We can make some biscuits.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for fun and interesting stuff to do with the venison and stuff. I mean, I'm a big fan of the bacon.
Yeah.
Wrap it in bacon, throw it on a grill. But also, you know, there's fun and creative things that you can do, and this is kind of fancy. This is good for company.
And I like the fact that it's rare. I don't know how I'd ever get that past my wife rare, unless she was cooking it.
The tenderloin medallions, the butterflies, are a half inch thick.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is you're searing the outsides, and so the insides are rare.
So you're going to get that at about, what, 140? Does it have internal temperature on there?
It doesn't say internal temperature, but I think on a hot iron pan, about 2 minutes and let her go.
Let her eat.
Yep.
Awesome. I still think that, I guess it was the preserves. It kind of sounds like a breakfast food to me.
PG loves him some jelly.
Oh, yeah. Get me some biscuits.
Some jelly.
I mean, the best thing about venison tenderloin is it's kind of like pizza.
You can eat it cold.
I like pizza, but I really like pizza the next day.
I will not eat cold pizza, and I have never eaten cold venison tenderloin until you and I got together, and we had it on the boat that day down at Lake Russell.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And it was delicious. I mean, we're like gnawing on leftover venison tenderloin out of the cooler.
If you hadn't overcooked it. If you've overcooked it the night before, I mean, you know, got it, and it's good, but if you've overcooked it the night before, it's really tough the next day.
I agree with you on the rare tenderloin.
Yep.
Anything ground, cube steak, ground venison, needs to be done.
Cube steak's not ground, it's pounded.
It's still ground.
Yeah.
But the tenderloin needs to be rare.
I'm still sore about that package of cube steak that I thawed out all day long.
Y'all.
And she was like,
he left.
No,
Mr.
I'm not
Food
eating that.
Safety over here left a package of cube steak out for like 12 hours. And I promise y'all, if it wasn't 80 degrees, I mean,
it was just room temperature.
It was so warm,
and it was wrapped in plastic.
It don't matter. We've already talked about salmonella on this show.
Yeah,
you know, like back before Christmas.
Yeah.
So we don't want to go down that road again.
All right.
Food safety, everybody.
Well, let's jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog, and we'll talk about old school crappie fishing rather than talking about me wasting a whole package of cube steak. I still got a sore spot about that.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So I got a question for you, Boat Girl.
Okay, and what's that, PG?
And you know, because you've already done this, but how many of you folks out there have ever been, you know, you pass by a lake this time of year and you see boats out there, and we see this, you know, from time to time with our view, soon-to-be view of the lake, or current view of the lake, soon-to-be whatever. But you'll look out there and you'll see a boat looks like a water skeeter.
I did. When I went down in the house, I don't know, it's been a week or so ago, I texted PG and I'm like, hey, PG, there's an old dude with about 9-10 rods out off the front.
And so what you're seeing, and I mean, it could be just about any kind of boat, but you'll see that boat, it's got rods sticking out all the way around it. People say, that looks like a water skeeter. And you say, what are they doing? Well, I actually thought about that the other day when I wrote the Upstate Outdoors blog, decided I kind of explain that to you. And the name of the Upstate Outdoors blog is Slow Trolling for Crappie. Now, with the promise of the coming spring, both crappie and crappie anglers are preparing for the spawning season, which is going to happen in just a few weeks, probably about 3.5 weeks, if I have my guess, maybe a little earlier.
Yeah.
Well, this time of year, casual observers may note an angler or two sitting in the front of a boat with a multitude of long fishing rods sticking out in all directions. And as I said, the appearance of these rods gives the water a bug-like appearance when viewed from above. Now, when fishing, the angler will detect a bite by the observance of just the slightest movement on one of these rods. And there's a skill set that's involved in there. When you're sitting there and you're looking at a bunch of different things, and one of them, and you know, you'd think, if you're striper fishing, you'd think, man, that rod's just going to bury deep in the water.
No, but not crappie fishing.
No, when you're crappie fishing, it can be just the slightest twitch or pop or
small bump.
Yeah, small bump. And sometimes a rod will, you know, bend over.
Right.
And usually it means it's something other than crappie on there. But so that's when you got to grab the rod and jerk up on it, set the hook, and see what you got. Well, slow trolling, which is also referred to as tight lining, a lot of crappie enthusiasts, emphasizes baits presented horizontally to the fish by pushing the rods forward with the boat using the trolling motor, and also with a weight of about 1/4 to maybe up to a 1 ounce weight, which keeps the line vertical in the water. Now,
right.
It could be argued that the fathers of modern slow trolling for crappie are 7-time National Crappie Championship winners, Ronnie Capps and Steve Coleman. Okay, they're the fathers of slow trolling. And actually, they learned it from their grandfathers, but, you know, we don't know who they are.
Yeah. Well, those are like the most famous crappie fishermen ever.
Right.
And there you go. They figured it out.
They're arguably the best, most well-known names in crappie business and have made slow trolling the most popular crappie fishing tactic in the country. It's actually pretty simple, said Ronnie Capps. From the fish's perspective, he's down there hanging out on a brush pile or a stake bed or hanging on the edge of a creek channel, and suddenly here comes 16 baits right in his face.
Irresistible.
Now, the benefit of slow trolling is absolute depth control because the line is vertical in the water column with the heavier weight. And that's used to keep the line at close to a 90-degree angle when you're kind of bumping along. The angler can dial in the depth of the baits. Now, in order to keep the line and baits at precise depth, the standard slow troller typically doesn't move much faster than about 0.5 miles per hour. That's what really gets Boat Girl right there, is because it doesn't feel like you're moving very fast and nothing's really happening.
We're just hanging out.
And you watching all them rods.
Eating snacks.
Yeah, eating snacks. She's back there eating and she's missed 4 bites.
Now, I was hungry.
Now, some anglers will use even heavier weights and they'll bump up the trolling speed in order to cover more water in less time. But the basic idea is the same. Now, according to Steve Coleman, slow trolling works best when a boat is following a known crappie travel route, such as the edge of a creek or a river channel, and the angler is targeting the drop-off and the structure related to the drop-off. That's just fishing 101 right there.
Right.
because, you know, where the edge of a channel is before that impoundment was made or whatever, you're usually going to have some stumps or, you know, even the remnants of old trees or something there. It's well known that crappie use contour lines when traveling from place to place, so slow trolling along a contour line is a great way to intercept those fish.
Right.
Coleman says, when we first started using the GPS, Ronnie and I would place a waypoint on the GPS whenever we caught a good fish, he said. At the end of the day, whether we were trying to follow the creek channel or not, most of the biggest fish came on the edge of the creek channel. He said that changed a lot about the way we trolled. Now we almost always follow some kind of contour line, whatever they can find. Now, one of the mainstays to the success of slow trolling is the rig that's used. Now, Caps and Coleman employ a two-hook minnow rig that offers a live minnow at two different depths on each rod. That's where you got, usually there's eight rods, four per angler.
That would explain the 16 baits.
And that's 16 baits. Now, by varying the depth of each rod, the pair can quickly figure out what depth the fish are biting best at, then concentrate all of their efforts at that level. And Ronnie Capp says, the cool thing about this rig is if you hang up the light wire hooks that they use to tie their rigs, and you can buy these commercially now, can be pulled loose and re-straightened with a pair of pliers, not your teeth.
No, not and your teeth.
I added that, not mm-hmm. Ronnie. And you're right back to fishing, he said. They work well with straight live bait, or you can tie a small jig head to the end of the line and tip that with a minnow to add a little color from the jig head. Either way, you'll catch loads of slab crappie.
So what do you think?
About?
Tight lining or long lining?
Oh, well,
I mean, obviously this is about tight lining.
Yeah, it is about tight lining. I'm like you, I got the ADD and I prefer to go faster.
Right.
Okay. I will say this, to me, January and February, I will tight line and I will catch more crappie tight lining. Okay.
But
if I start long lining in February, like I'm doing now, I'll catch bass, I'll catch stripers, I'll catch white bass, white perch. I don't seem to catch that many crappie, and the reason is the more aggressive fish are going to hit that bait. And I can't really explain it, but I've also got better depth control, so when I catch a crappie, I'm not saying that I don't catch that other stuff,
right?
The other fish, but when I do catch a crappie, then I can get down to that level. And it's kind of funny how, you know, the stripers will be up here and the bass will run up and down. But the crappie kind of want it right there where they're at. They're not going to, you know, especially this time of year when it's stained water, they're not going to chase it very far.
You got to put it in their face.
You got to put it in their face. And when you put that many in their face and you go slow, it just seems to be what they like best. And you catch more crappie. I catch more crappie doing that than I do other species. But when I'm going fast, long lining, especially when I'm tipping with a minnow, it's a little bit bigger bait, a little bigger profile. I'm going to get everything. And now as the crappie start getting more aggressive and moving along, I'll start catching more crappie
right.
Like that. But, you know, right now with the water still cold until they, so to speak, move up, it's going to be pretty much everything. So,
cool.
And I'm cool with that. I like catching fish.
Yeah.
So there you go. And we got to go to a break now because we got our buddy Marty Robinson waiting in the wings, so we got to get a fishing report from him.
Cool. Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
All right, and as promised, we have got the Upstate's premier pro bass fisherman,
yes.
Marty Robinson, on the show with us again. Marty, seems like it's just about a month ago we were talking to you at the boat show. Welcome back to Upstate Outdoors.
Hey, guys. I'm glad to be back, man. It's fishing season, and, you know, my schedule's wide open right now.
So I got to ask you, you know, last time when we were at boat show, we talked about the new boat. You're in a Phoenix now. So
right.
You've had some time to shake it down. What do you think?
Man, I love it. I really do. I love it, and I'm really surprised with the performance of the boat and that new Mercury outboard, man. That motor really has some lower end to it.
It does.
It's got a great, awesome hole shot. Really surprised me on the lower end of that deal.
Is it weedless?
Is it weedless?
No, it's weedless, but it's not rockless.
Yeah.
Get around them rocks with it.
You had wiped one out already.
Yeah, then. I had seen that. I knew you were down in Florida, and I'd heard that you'd had a little interface with the terrain.
Yeah.
Well, you can't call it fishing unless you're crashing up some lower units, you know.
That's right. You know, when you're running around as much as I was down in Florida, you're bound determined to hit something sooner or later. And I got a hold of a little rock pile or some hard bottom or something. I don't really know what it was. I sat down on it and took a little chunk out of my skag, but it didn't slow the motor down good. It's still running great. I just got a little chunk missing out of my skag.
Oh, man, that's just part of the break-in. I got that on all my Well, I used to have that on all my motors. Now when I bring them home, somebody hands me a new prop because she can't stand it if there's some love dings in the prop, you know?
Love dings is true.
That's right. I was fortunate. I didn't. My prop's in good shape still, so I'm running with a good prop still, so I'm good on that end.
Well, and the cool thing is you came back from Florida, and just in time, FLW is having an open, a Toyota series, and I was actually a little bit surprised. I was looking up the roster there and saw Marty Robinson on there, and then actually was following you on Facebook and saw, I can't wait to get back and fish for some spotted bass. So you're really excited about this Toyota Open tournament next week.
You know, I am, Philip. I'm glad to be fishing around home. You know, we've had a crazy season on the MLF so far this year. We've had two tournaments, and the first one we had a huge flood at Eufaula, which made conditions tough overall. And then we went, we go to Okeechobee and we get a massive cold front with a bunch of north wind, and fishing for me has been tough in both those two events, but so I'm glad to get back home and fish here at the house where I know they're biting.
and the cool thing about that with Major League Fishing and their affiliation with FLW, and I don't know whether it was legal or accepted last year, but this year, if there's an open, hey, you can just pop in there and fish it if you got time.
That's right. You know, when MLF purchased FLW, they revamped the FLW series schedule, and they actually expanded the schedule and made more tournaments, and pretty much any division, or with all the divisions they have, any fisherman in any area can pick a division, and he can fish three tournaments within his region. He doesn't have to travel a long way. So they really picked up a lot of boats doing that. And I know they had a big turnout on St. John's River in the first one, and I'm sure they'll have a lot of boats and a good turnout on this one.
Well, speaking of which, we promised our listeners a fishing report for Lake Hartwell Bass Fishing Report. So how do you see Lake Hartwell fishing with all the new waters in the lake?
Yeah, you know, that's great for us around here. You know, every couple of years or so, we get a lot of rain, and you know, it fills the lakes back up. And, you know, with the water being down, you have all this new growth around the banks, a lot of cover and habitat for the bass to get in. And then we have, you know, all this rain, which brings the water back up. And the fish love it because they have so much cover and habitat to get in, and it really improves the fishing. And the lake's fishing great right now. I've actually been up there a time or two, and, going to get out and practice this weekend as much as I can. The tournament starts next Tuesday, but the lake is in great shape. We've got a lot of good stained water. When you get a heavy rains like this, water comes up, gets high, and it gets real dirty. You have a lot of those bigger fish push up shallow, especially this time of year. So there'll be a lot of good fish caught, I think.
What do you see, if I pique your brain a little bit as far as what you're going to have in your tackle box, what do you see you throwing most of the time when you're fishing in this tournament next week?
Well, you know, the only bad thing for me, it kind of levels the playing field, you know, with all this high, dirty water, you know, all these guys coming in that are not from here, you know, I mean, you could pretty much pick up, you know, a crankbait, spinnerbait, and go down the bank, and a lot of guys are going to catch a lot of good largemouth doing that because a lot of these fish are going to move shallow. And, you know, somebody from out of town could catch them just as good as a local could because, you know, it kind of takes the advantage you have from, you know, a lot of offshore and deeper stuff when the lake muddies up like this. You know, it just it puts a lot more of those fish shallow and a lot more of those bigger fish shallow. And pretty much anybody, you know, it's anybody's game then.
You know, this time last year we had a lot of water. And Hartwell came way up onto the banks that haven't had water in a long time. And so when you've got all this grass and you've got all this vegetation and then it's in, you know, 2-3 feet of water, everything looks good. It's almost hard because they've got so much good cover to hide, you know, on the banks. And that I think that's one of the things that the local guys will probably do better. Just because they know, I mean, everything looks so good, so it's kind of intimidating, you know. And then the local guys are like, hey, I know that spot, I'm going to go right there. So it's going to be an interesting turnout for sure, you know, to see what happens.
You're exactly right on that. And, I mean, that's the only drawback to, you know, high water. You got a lot more water and you got a lot more water to cover.
Right.
And, you know, the fish can spread out a lot more. So, you know, in my opinion, a guy is just going to have to stay on that trolling motor and cover as much water as possible. Because like you're saying, I mean, you got, you know, locals that know what area of the lake he's caught them on or, you know, where better fish live. And
right.
He can concentrate and focus on that area. But, you know, and that, I guess that's the only bad thing about if you don't have a lot of knowledge on the lake, you know, you have to cover a lot of that water, a lot of that dead water as well, you know.
And, Marty, I want to say, pick your brain a little bit as far as your tactics go. A lot of folks, especially this time of year, are holding out for that big largemouth, and that's come back to bite them. Are you gonna take that strategy, or are you going to say, hey, man, if I'm catching spots, I'm going to be good with catching spots?
Yeah, you know, the lake has a lot, you know, a good population of largemouth and spotted bass, obviously, now. And you know, I think you'll see a lot of mixed bags. You know, the spots and largemouth will be up there shallow. The guys will catch them in a lot of the same places. And I think there'll be some good spotted bass and largemouth caught. You know, it won't be one of those times where you go catch a limit of little spots and then you go largemouth fishing and hope to get one or two. You know, I think a lot of guys would just put your trolling motor down and go down a bank and catch spots and largemouth and, you know, pick up some good ones too while they're doing it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Well, we've been talking with upstate pro bass angler Marty Robinson from up in Lyman, South Carolina, going to be competing next week in the FLW Toyota Open. And if you want to follow Marty and his progress, you can do that. You can go to flwfishing.com. Or if you just want to keep up with what Marty's doing during the year, you can go to martyrobinsonfishing.com and also Facebook page. So, Marty, thanks for the report, man, and just good luck and go catch him up next week.
Yeah, man, looking forward to it. I'm really excited. And, you know, any of you guys out there want to come out to the tournament, you know, it starts next Tuesday. We'll be weighing in at Clemson Beach. And I think the weigh-ins will probably start around 3. Philip, I'm sure you can go online and look it up on FOWOutdoors.com and just look up FOW Series. It's the Eastern Division.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get all the info on it. And all you guys can come out and watch the weigh-ins if you want.
We're going to be cheering you on for sure.
Yep, I will definitely be there, Marty. And I look forward to you being on stage up there and leading the pack.
There you go, guys. All right, bud. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right, see you.
All right, so there you go. And you heard him say, you know, the bad thing is a lot of the guys coming in have equal shot. But I agree with you, but girl, the
yeah,
people who know the
it's
spots.
It's tough when it looks so good, the whole lake looks so good, and all the banks look good. It gets a little tough. You know, you don't have enough time to cover all of it.
Absolutely.
So, well,
cool. Well, we're going to go to our break now. When we come back, we're going to wrap up today's show with our calendar of events and in our parting shot about a kid who came up on a good set of antlers out in the woods. So you want to hear about it, stay tuned.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
All right, back on the air with Upstate Outdoors for your final segment.
How does it fly by
so
fast?
Because we talk to fun people like Marty Robinson.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just start talking. That's
it's
what
so
it is.
Fun.
Yeah. We're your outdoor tacos.
That's right.
Yeah.
We are.
We've been playing that promo.
I know. I've heard it.
Well, speaking of promos, now's the time on the show when Boat Girl brings us our calendar of events.
First up, Friday, March 6th, is the 9th Annual Memorial Outdoor Dream Foundation Spring Turkey Celebration. This is an evening of dinner, auction, and drawings featuring Dead End Game Calls founder and national turkey calling champion, Mitchell Johnston.
We had Mitchell on the show last weekend.
Yeah, we did. He's going to call.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you ask him to, he will. This event will be held at Washington Baptist Church, which is at 208 Washington Church Road in Pelzer. The event starts at 6:30 p.m. Tickets are $25, and for more info and to purchase tickets, you can go to outdoordream.org. Also, March the 7th, Cabela's on Woodruff Road in Greenville, right down the street, has a youth turkey calling contest. There's two age groups, 10 and under and 10 to 16. Sign-up starts at 2 p.m. on March 7th. Contest starts at 3 p.m. Winners in each age group will receive a $50 Cabela's gift card and a certificate. For more info, go to Cabela's.com and click over to the Greenville store location, and that'll give you all the info you need.
And you can register for that. I think registration is not in advance. I think it's like 2 o'clock beforehand.
2 p.m.
And Debbie Outdoors will be out there from last week's show. So you
is
can go.
She judging the turkey
she's
calling?
Gonna be judging it. So take your kid by there and you know
let him call.
Yeah.
Be cool.
Yeah. So you know butter up the judges a little bit before.
Also, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Sunday and Monday, March 22nd through 23rd, is the 2020 Jim Shockey Classic Military Tribute at Wild Dunes Resort. This two-day gathering honors those who protect our freedoms and aids in providing U.S. and Canadian military personnel with once-in-a-lifetime hunts and fishing adventures. More than just a round of golf, the schedule of events taking place at Isle of Palms, South Carolina at the Wild Dunes Resort, March 22nd and March 23rd, includes Jim Shockey meet and greet, charity auction evening, and a military tribute golf tournament on the picturesque 18-hole course. And a post-golf awards barbecue dinner. There's a bunch of different ticket packages available, and you can register for this event at jimshockeyclassic.com. That'll be cool to go to. I kind of want to go to the auction.
We've been invited like 5 times.
Yeah, I mean, we're not golfers, but I do
want
to go
free tickets
to the
meet yet, but we've been invited.
And everything. So that'll be cool. So everybody sign up for that. If you guys have an event you'd like to share with our listeners, you can connect us by email at upstateoutdoors@1063WORD.com. Send them to us.
And we'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
Also, next week, we're going to start talking about the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic.
Yeah.
That's coming to Columbia.
Yeah, it's coming up. What's the date on that?
I'll tell you next week.
Okay, we'll have that for you next week.
I just saw that popped up in Dan Dupree's friend of mine, and he was like, hey, put this on there and – so, we'll get that to you. It's like March 20-something. I don't know. Stay tuned. Next week, we'll give that
to you. We'll give you the rundown on that, too.
But right now, it's time for today's parting shot. Okay, so, Boat Girl,
we've
talked about hunting sheds. This is a time of year starting about now. It might be a little bit early, but in the next couple of weeks when dyed-in-the-wool deer hunters get out in the woods and they try to find the headgear from last year's trophy or just whatever. And I got this story off of deer hunting, deerandeerhunting.com. And it's the Whitetail Wisdom column written by Daniel Schmidt. And it says, are these the biggest sheds ever found? Okay, this might not be the biggest sheds ever found, but
they are crazy.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the picture over your shoulder.
Yeah, it says, we submit this. It's a find by Minnesota's Caden Iverson. Has to rank in the top with some of the most impressive white-tailed deer antlers found as sheds. And this is a report that was sent in by Tara Iverson. That's his mom. She says, my son is 12, and this past weekend we were out shed hunting, and he found the match to a 16-point buck. So after we finally got it scored, it turned out to be much bigger than we had thought. Now, according to the official measure, the biggest sheds that Iversons have ever found, that was in his two antlers. The first one was 82 3/8 inches.
Which is crazy.
And the second one is 92 7/8 inches.
Which is also crazy. They need to play the lottery.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, finding a set is crazy. But, man, that massive, massive.
Now, of course, when you find sheds, you don't find them connected, so you don't know how far apart they are. But it says, with an estimated inside spread of 20 inches, this buck's rack, you know, just 20-inch spread, and that's not a whole lot for a big deer, that would score a whopping 195 2/8 inches as a non-typical whitetail.
So did they kind of hold it up, you know, hold them up together on, like, where they would have been?
I don't know if maybe they could look at...
Or do they just measure the actual antlers?
I don't know. I don't know how they came about with a 20-inch spread. Maybe that's, you know, fairly common for deer of that size or whatever. Or maybe they look at the bases of the pedestals and said, hey, this is kind of the way they look if you figured it on a rounded deer head. But the interesting part of the story was this was Caden's first time out shed hunting. So
he's ruined forever.
Good luck to him, and congratulations. And we are out of time for this week, so I want to thank our guests, Ken Sloan from VisitOconeeSC.com. Also, thanks to our buddy Marty Robinson for the report. And we are gone. Stay tuned for John and Chuck. We'll be back next week.
Y'all have a great rest of the weekend right here, 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.